take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Tinker's Shop here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I can't stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be. Since I found serenity, you can't take the sky from me.
Well, good evening, my friends. I have a feeling my software is going to be a little pesky tonight, so you'll have to probably bear with me. You know, things want to do this sometimes, and, you know, we can't always predict everything. Okay, so, well, welcome to the Tinker's Shop here for Saturday night, the 10th of January of 2015. And yes, Iowacat, I did get the song, the link that you posted, and I think we're actually going to hear that tonight at some point here. So, yeah, I'd heard of them many years ago, and I never managed to find their link again, but thank you. So, okay. So, well, tell you what here. While I am thinking of it here, well, let's see here. You know, get my... There we go. Okay. I found it. And I'm going to put that in there right now, Iowacat. So, this is one that Iowa Cat said that she thought of me when she heard it. So, it's a thing from the Irish Descendants, and it's called Rattlin' Bog. So, here we go.
Ho, ho, the Rattlin' Bog, the bug down in the valley-o. Rare bog, the Rattlin' Bog, the bug down in the valley-o. Well, in the bog there was a hole, a rare hole, a rattling hole. Hole in the bog down in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, the rattling bog, the bog down in the valley, oh. Rare bog, the rattling bog, the bog down in the valley, oh. Well, in the hole there was a tree, a rare tree, a rattling tree. Tree in the hole, in the bog down in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, the rattling bog, the bog down in the valley, oh. Rare bog, the rattling bog, the bog down in the valley, oh. On the tree there was a branch, a rare branch, a rattling branch. Branch in the tree, in the hole, in the bog down in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, the rattling bog, the bog down in the valley, oh. Rare bog, the rattling bog, the bog down in the valley, oh. On the branch there was a limb, a rare limb, a rattling limb. Limb on the branch, in the branch, in the tree, in the tree, in the hole, in the bog down in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, the rattling bog, the bog down in the valley, oh. Rare bog, the rattling bog, the bog down in the valley, oh. Well, on the limb there was a nest, a rare nest, a rattling nest. Nest on a limb and a limb on a branch and a branch on a tree and a tree and a hole and a hole in the bog and a bug down in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, the rattling bug, the bug down in the valley, oh. Rare bug, the rattling bug, the bug down in the valley, oh. In the nest there was a bird, a rare bird, a rattling bird. Bird in a nest on a limb, and a limb on a branch, and a branch on a tree, and a tree, and a hole, and a hole in a bog, and a bug down in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, the rattling bug, a bug down in the valley, oh. Rare bug, the rattling bug, a bug down in the valley, oh. In the bird there was an egg, a rare egg, a rattling egg. Egg, the bird, bird, nest, nest, limb, limb, branch, branch, tree, tree, and hole, hole, bug, bug, down in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, the rattling bug, bug down in the valley, oh. Rare bug, the rattling bug, bug down in the valley, oh. In the egg there was a bird, a rare bird, a rattling bird. Birdie egg, egg, bird, bird, nest, nest, limb, limb, branch, branch, tree, tree, hole, hole, bug, bug, down in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, the rattling bug, bug, down in the valley, oh. Rare bug, rattling bug, bug, down in the valley, oh. On the bird there was a feather, rare feather, rattling feather, feather, bird, birdie egg, egg, bird, bird, nest, nest, limb, limb, branch, branch, tree, tree, hole, hole, bug, bug, down in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, the rattling bug, bug, down in the valley, oh. Rare bug, rattling bug, bug, down in the valley, oh. On the feather there was a worm, a rare worm, rotten worm, worm, feather, feather, bird, birdie, egg, egg, the bird, bird, nest, nest, limb, limb, branch, branch, tree, tree, and hole, hole, about, button in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, the rotten bug, button in the valley, oh. Rare bug, rotten bug, button in the valley, oh. On the worm was a hare, rare hare, rat hare, hare, worm, worm, feather, feather, bird, birdie, egg, egg, the bird, bird, nest, nest, limb, limb, branch, branch, tree, tree, and hole, hole, about, button in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, the rotten bug, button in the valley, oh. Rare bug, rotten bug, button in the valley, oh. On the here there was a louse, a rare louse, a rat, a louse, louse, near, here, and worm, worm, fell, 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 birdie, egg, egg, bird, bird, nest, nest, limb, limb, branch, branch, tree, tree, hole, hole, about, about, and in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, the rat, about, about, in the valley, oh. Rear, about, rat, about, about, in the valley, oh. On the louse was a tick, a rear, tick, a rat, a tick, tick, louse, louse, near, here, and worm, worm, fell, fell, bird, birdie, egg, egg, bird, bird, nest, nest, limb, limb, branch, branch, tree, tree, hole, hole, about, about, in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, rat, about, in the valley, oh. Rear, about, rat, about, in the valley, oh. On the dick, a rush, a rash, a rear, rash, rat, rash, rash, tick, tick, louse, louse, here, here, the worm, worm, fell, fell, bird, birdie, egg, egg, bird, bird, nest, nest, limb, limb, rash, rash, tree, tree, hole, hole, bug, button in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, rat, bug, button in the valley, oh. Rear, bug, rat, bug, button in the valley, oh. Ho, ho, rat, bug, button in the valley, oh. Rear, bug, the rattling bug, the bug down in the valley, oh.
Okay, can everybody hear me now? I am so sorry. You know, it's one of those cases, you know, like Conk says, you know, the joys of live radio. So sorry about the silence there for a little bit. Guess that song was just too wild and rapid for the poor computer to handle. So anyway, well, here we are. Like I'd said before, we're back on the air Saturday night, 9 o'clock Central, the 10th of January of 2015, and we're here at the Survival Circle. So, oh yes, yeah, that's right, Doc. You know, we can get you and get Conk, and maybe we can get Iowa in there to sing a soprano in there, and I don't know, maybe a mini. She could do probably a nice contralto, I have a feeling. So okay. So well, let's see here. Yeah, probably hear my oldest son in the background talking at the dogs. So anyway, okay, well, hello, Concrete, and glad you made it. Hi, Doc. Gene, yes, welcome, and Lil Yen. And I think I said hi to everybody before. Maybe I missed you, Wrights. Hi, Wrights. So, okay, well, probably everybody's going to get sick of the subject I pick here, but it's the time of the year to be thinking ahead for the gardens and whatnot. So, I kind of was digging through on my system here today because I was setting up a new PC for my wife, so I was trying to fight all the install software for everything. And I found a bunch of stuff that I went, oh, I forgot I had those. Some little, some tips from different places. From, see, one was from Organic Gardening, which is a fairly good magazine. And other ones from Mother Earth News. Yeah, and this first one here, it's a person by the name of Megan Phelps, and she was suggesting that there's, you know, 10 easy garden crops for those who haven't gardened too much before, or they're trying to, you know, bring a little bit more variety to your gardens. And so these are some ones that, you know, just kind of get people thinking a little bit about what they want to have for their gardens. Radishes, you know, a lot of people either love them or hate them, and you know, radishes are quick and easy to grow. They're a good, shall we say, a good pilot crop. If you have some other smaller seeds, or you know, want to keep your rows straight when you're planting other vegetables by seed in the rows, go ahead and sprinkle a few radish seeds along the row as well as you're going. They'll usually pop up, you know, very quickly, and be ready to eat before your other vegetables are. Quite often, like for example, when I'm planting carrots, I put some radishes in. Beans is another one. I throw a few of them, scatter a few radish seeds along the row, and it helps let me know if the row is getting wet enough or getting watered enough to grow. So, not only do they sometimes taste good, grated on into a salad, but some people just like to eat the things whole, and they're quite useful for that. Another one, onions. You can always start from seed earlier on in the spring, or you can get onion sets. I have to admit, I usually just go out and get sets. Of course, I have grown them from seed as well, but sets probably are the fastest and easiest way to plant them in your garden. And let them grow. And if the bulbs don't totally mature on there, you can always pull them up and use them for green onions. Strawberries, those are another one that kind of add a little bit of color to a garden. Around our neck of the woods here, our strawberries usually are ready to pick by. We'll occasionally get a few the last week in May. Usually they come during the month of June. And they're again, one that's, don't have to have a lot of care with them. Just kind of, keep them cleaned out in the area and keep the other weeds out. Use some straw as mulch to help keep the weeds down and let your strawberries grow out onto them. And then, of course, the thing for gardens, tomatoes. I think we went through, what was it, probably about maybe 15 or 20 different recipes for tomatoes this last year, or this past summer, as the crops were coming in. You can always can them in many different forms, different sauces, whether it be a chili base, a spaghetti sauce, a marinara sauce, ketchup, just stewed tomatoes, even whole tomatoes. And then also, tomatoes can also be sliced and eaten fresh, of course. And let's see what else. You can always cut them up and dry them, or you can freeze them. So, and let's see here. Oh, yes, subject that's near and dear to my heart, potatoes. They're another one that's fairly easy to grow. And, they store well. It's basically Casey just giving them enough room to grow. And make sure they, keep a constant level of moisture in the soil. For example, this year, we've been getting, using more of our potatoes now that we grew last summer. And one thing I did find that I had quite a few of the extremely large potatoes, and actually some of the medium-sized ones I had with, water heart. It's basically where when the potatoes grow too fast after they've been under a period of stress. For example, say you have a good wet time for quite a while, and then you have a period of time during the plant growth that, basically where you don't get any rain, and if you don't water them well enough, and then all of a sudden, if the potatoes get plenty of rain and moisture, all of a sudden they'll grow really fast. Well, they'll have a tendency of getting a hollow heart in the potato. And really, it doesn't hurt the potato's usefulness. It can be, you know, it still can be eaten. It's just that it's kind of a, shall we say, kind of an ugly or a, it's rather much of a surprise if you get a potato that has a hollow in the middle, because sometimes it'll be kind of brown around there. It's like it's trying to grow skin on the inside as well. Okay, so let's see here. That's one, two. Yeah, that was number five here out of the 10. So what else? Yes, peppers. Again, a lot of people don't eat peppers. A lot of other people do. And both hot peppers and bell peppers are, you know, pretty easy to grow. And you just need to start with your plants. You know, just you can start them ahead of time in the house. And, you just kind of let them go and let them grow. And, you can let them go all the way till they're, you know, red ripe, or you can always pick them when they're still green. What next? Oh, yes, green beans. Green beans and peas, actually. You know, again, they're both extremely easy to grow, quite prolific. And, again, if you get a big crop of them, you can always, you know, freeze your green beans or your peas, and, they'll store well that way. Also, the green beans can be either canned. You know, of course, that you got to use a pressure canner. You cannot use just a hot water bath for green beans if you're just canning them alone. Of course, if you don't have a pressure canner and you still want to can green beans up, you can always can them as dilly beans, which are basically a pickled bean. And these seeds actually, for green beans and peas both, you'll want to, you know, grow them from seed, you know, direct sown seed in the garden, you know, after the danger of frost has passed for your garden, then it's okay to get them in there. Okay, now, and let's see here. Zucchini, yes. A lot of people grow zucchini. A lot of people won't touch the darn things. Again, it's these are some that you can start from seed ahead of time, you know, a few weeks before your last frost. And you know, once you get them started, you can get them set out into the garden, and you go from there. You don't need very many of them, because as you all know, zucchinis have a tendency of being, shall we be, say, somewhat prolific. I've joked about being zucchinied out at times. You get these ones that are like a zucchini boat, and that's the ones you can probably most easily, you know, split them, you know, clean them out, and you know, chop them up and save it for making zucchini bread. That's about all you can do when they're too big. If they're nice and small, they work excellent in stir fries. Let's see. I guess you could say number nine here, salad greens. Again, you know, these are ones that you want to direct sow in the garden, and you know, pick them as you need them. You know, it can be lettuce, spinach, arugula, corn salad. What else? Probably poke salad, some other ones. So, but yeah, it's good stuff for you. And actually, if you have yourself a little mini greenhouse, you can usually keep the salad greens going until it really gets cold, until it really gets frosty out. Matter of fact, you know, kind of a little aside here, we've actually managed to pick spinach from a little lean-to greenhouse against our garage all the way up into January already. And like you all probably know, I'm up here in Wisconsin, so yeah, spinach is a pretty cold, hardy crop. And let's see here, about, number 10, or would that be 11? I don't know. Anyway, basil. It's a fairly easy herb to grow, and, goes good in with the tomatoes that we mentioned before, and, oregano is another one that's fairly easy to do. Okay, well, let's see, what do we got here? 20 past the hour, and I probably should stop and have a little something to drink, and then I'll be back in just a couple minutes. Actually, about 3 minutes from now. So, here goes. A little more Celtic music. See a little bit more of a relaxing piece of music there. So, let me peek in here. Take a look here in the chat room. With the potatoes, when they get that hollow heart in them, or water heart, they are still usable. As a matter of fact, this year after I noticed I had, several potatoes that I pulled up, and I went, oh Lord, what is this going on here again? And I went ahead and did a little bit more research on that, and come to find out that actually it does not, you know, harm the nutrition of the potato. I have to admit, I still kind of, I cut a spud up and I find one of those in there, I'll go ahead and just kind of trim it out just to, shall we say, keep the sissies from whining about it. But, yeah, a lot of times if you ever have potato chips that have kind of like a funny looking edge on there, like it's kind of like a hole on the edge of a potato chip, that's what it is. It's, you know, it's water hurt where they just said, oh, what the heck, and, you know, sliced the potato up anyhow and came up with chips from it. So, let's see. Raised bed gardens, yes. Probably a lot of us are starting to feel, shall we say, the years of crawling around in the gardens, and yes, raised beds help. You know, they get them up a little bit, so we don't have to crouch down quite so far. And also, they also have another added benefit. They help with drainage as well. So if you have your beds raised up or have trenches dug along by the beds, then you don't necessarily have to worry about you know, the plants getting wet feet. You know, the extra moisture will drain into into the pathways between the raised beds. The moisture will soak in, and then the plants will have a chance to pull the moisture up. So, and let's see, other comments. Yes, bell peppers, yes. They grow. Yes, they do. And let's see, weed block. Yes, I've used that too. You know, it's basically like a, looks almost like a close woven black cloth. And yes, if you double it up, it even works well for walkways. I've used that before. And, put that down in where I wanted to have a walkway and, next to a strawberry bed. And once I had that down there, I covered the walkway with a bunch of ground-up branches, you know. Mulch, you know, bark mulch. There we go. Okay, so now, let's see here. Oh, what was the name of it? Okay, yeah, the cloth. I can't remember the right name of it. Okay, so, come on, brain function. Yeah, gotta have it do that once in a while. Okay, we did have some discussion here about, frost dates and whatnot. And I actually do have a copy of NOAA, or, yeah, National Ocean Atmospheric Administration, weather map here. And for example, like up here in my neck of the woods, you know, they keep changing the definition, whether we're a 4 or a 5 or a 4B or 4A or 5A or 5B. So, but this particular map just kind of is color-coded. And for example, here in east central Wisconsin, they show our anticipated last frost date is sometime between May 1st and May 15th of each year. And let's see, Pumpkin, you're down in southern Michigan, I believe, and that particular area is also in the, you know, May 1st to May 15th range. Doc, being down in southern Mississippi, your area, you're looking at having your last frost date sometime between March 1st and March 31st. And Concrete and Rights. Let's see, I'm showing, yeah, basically the same time period, you know, right around the 1st of March to somewhere 31st of March. And let's see here. It gets kind of hard to tell up here in the mountainous regions, but yeah, you could be anywhere from mid-May to mid-June for having your last frost of the year. So, let's see. I'm trying to think. Oh, yes, Iowa Cat. Can't forget you on that. Let me look here. Okay, your area. Yeah, you're kind of on the, shall we say, on the line. If my memory serves me correctly, on your location. So you're looking at either something between, mid-April to end of April, or, sometime in the period between the middle of April and the middle of May. Probably depending on year for you to have, your last frost worries. And, see, I would say probably around May Day. So you probably are able to plant on May Day. And I talked about running through this map last year. Okay, right. So, yeah, he says your planting won't start until Memorial Day. So, yep, that's... Well, I was kind of... okay. Yeah. It could actually probably even slip it in a little bit earlier than that, if you wanted to. But, it might work. Okay, so, now, figuring, yep, you don't plant garden until about May 15th there. Okay, so you are up in the blue zone yet, Iowa Cat. Okay, so, here's some other ideas for gardens. Like I said, you guys are probably going to get sick of Mother Earth and I talking about gardening, but, I don't know. I always like to eat. And, well, my wife, she's of Scottish descent, and she used to always, and her father also, used to always say, no, they're frugal. Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, they're Scottish. Me, I'm just cheap. Yeah, I'm German stock. So, some ideas here for getting plants started if you want to start them ahead of time. That's a good idea to kind of grab yourself a calendar, because this time of year, a lot of the hardware stores and a lot of the other stores, they have the calendars that they hand out, with their advertising on. But hey, even if it's advertising for a place, the calendar's still good. And what you want to do is just kind of figure out this time of year, now, the type of things that you want to plant, and then go ahead and come up with your list of what you want to plant, and where you want to plant it, your garden, and then figure out your last expected frost date, because like I said, I was kind of just tossing out some generalized dates, as an idea, for different people's areas. And you can actually probably call up your local university extension office, just to get a little bit more of a concrete date of, when, if you don't know that your last frost date time period, give the university extension offices a call, the county offices. So once you have that date, then you go ahead and mark that puppy on your calendar. And so gonna kind of run through a few of the plants here. So because you can kind of mark the things up. Like say for example for broccoli. Okay. Gonna kind of be working it backwards here. So you can safely put out broccoli starts about 2 weeks before the last expected frost date. Okay, of course you can kind of, you know, play with that too a little bit. If you're having a cooler spring, you might want to delay it a little bit and get closer to the last frost date. So, you know, 2 weeks before your last frost date, that's your setting out date. You go ahead and, you know, take note of that, and then you count back 4 to 6 weeks before that. So, I'll use my area here for an example. We generally figure about mid-May, you know, 15th of May, second week, however you want to call it. So 2 weeks before that, before the last frost date, would be like the 1st of May. And to start the seeds, you got to go back another 4 to 6 weeks. So you're talking 1st of May, going back to 1st of April, another 2 weeks, and that would be, you know, mid-March. So that would be, you know, around the 15th of March for us, we would want to start our broccoli plants. To get them going. Cabbage. Okay, cabbage, that's another one, same family. But cabbage you can get out 4 weeks before your last frost date. So, you know, again, figuring, you know, 4 weeks before the 15th of May, that would be 15th of April. And again, 4 to 6 weeks before that. So that would be, you know, probably around the, say, the 1st of March. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, April, May. March, April, May, yeah, 1st of March. Roughly, or maybe a few days earlier than that. Cantaloupe, again, it's another one. You don't want to put your cantaloupe until 2 weeks after, you know, your last frost date. And so, again, for us, that would mean end of June. And I'm talking Wisconsin here now. Or Iowa Cats area in Iowa. Or southern Michigan, where pumpkin's at. We're probably looking at getting our cantaloupe plants out, you know, first week in June. So, you know, so our start date for the seeds there would probably be the first part of May. Cauliflower, again, that's basically the same as broccoli. You start that at the same time. You put it out 2 weeks before your last frost. For us, 1st of May. And so yeah, you work back from there. Okay. See other plants here. Like I said, I could probably be going through this and just plunking my dates in here and working them backwards, but let's see here. I mentioned cauliflower, cucumbers. You know, you want those to go out a couple weeks after your last frost. So, again, that would mean for us, last frost date, middle of May, put them out in the garden, you know, end of May, first week in June. And again, those are another one to start 3 or 4 weeks earlier. So, you figure, first part of April or mid-April. Eggplants, well, I'm not crazy for them, but, you know, again, a lot of people like them. And those ones are one that's one you just gotta definitely plant after the frost is all well past. So you want to put your sets out, you know, 2 to 3 weeks after that, so we're talking end of the first week in June to plant them out. Oh, and those, you need to start those seeds 8 to 10 weeks before, you know, your plant out date. So, again, let's see, that would be, okay, 1st of June, so you go back, all of me, all of April, mid-March, again, you know, a lot of these, we're coming up here where, you know, the times work out, you know, mid-March for my area for planting seeds. Leeks here again, they're talking about, you know, that you can plant them out 4 weeks before your last frost, which would be, again, you know, mid-April for around here. And, you know, you got to start those seeds well ahead of time, you know, 6 to 8 weeks ahead. So, I should actually be looking at a calendar myself. I'm just doing this all off the top of my head here, so having to keep talking back or running them back in my brain. Lettuce that can be planted out, you know, 3 to 4 weeks before your last frost date. And again, you can start those ahead, you know, 4 to 5 weeks ahead. And actually, what I would say with those, you know, space them out. You know, don't be just planting, you know, one crop of lettuce. You know, start some plants, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ahead. Wait a couple weeks, start some more. And then, you know, a couple weeks after that, start a third batch. And by the time that third batch is starting to come up, then you can start putting your first plants out. You kind of do a succession planting. Oh, here we go. Cock's favorite vegetable, okra. Again, that's another heat-sensitive one. And, you know, you'll want to plant that 2 to 4 weeks after your last fall, after your last frost date. And again, you need to, plant those seeds, you know, 4 to 6 weeks before you're thinking about setting them out. Oh, yes. Something I, one of the side notes here, you know, what you want to do is you want to soak your fresh okra seeds to soften the outer coat on the seed, and you want to start those in deep pots because they get a pretty good taproot going on them. And let's see, onions. Okay, you can get those set out into your garden about 4 weeks before your last frost. And again, you want to start them 6 to 8 weeks before your set-out date. And you want to keep those at a somewhat cooler temperature when you're getting the onion sets going, or onion seed going. You want to keep it down less than 70 degrees. Peppers, you want to set those out 2 weeks after your last frost date. And here's one that's, this is probably our longest one here. You want to start the seed for peppers anywhere from 6 to 14 weeks before you're going to set them out. So mind you, you know, 14 weeks, that's like 3.5 months. So let's see, if you're setting them out, like for us, 15th of May, 2 weeks after that would be the 1st of June, so you back up 3 months there, so you got May, you got April, you got March. Yeah, and you know, the first part of March, so mid-February for some pepper plants, you got to start them. So, and tomatoes, well, yeah, again, 1 to 2 weeks after your last frost date, and you want to start those plants 6 to 8 weeks ahead. And yeah, so that's. Oh, like I said, kind of a quick rundown, and you know, rough timetables for getting stuff started. Oh, good Lord! Hopefully, I didn't drive too many people away here with all those dates and numbers. So, why did I do this? I'm going to put another piece of music in here, and after that's over. Then I'll come back here and probably yatter on just a little bit more. So, how about some Dobro music? I think I'd like to hear some of that. So, here we go. Maiden's Prayer. ¶¶ That one came up a little bit quicker than I expected. yes. So, yep, about asparagus, yes. I've seen a lot of people going out, shall we say, raiding asparagus patches. Because a lot of times up around here, we have a lot of the farmers that have removed the, how'd you call it, the fence line near the road. So they just kind of, they plow as far into the right-of-way as they can. And so a lot of times those places where they do that, you get asparagus that starts kind of coming up. And so, it works. So, it's one way of, getting your asparagus patch to multiply a little bit faster. I had originally had, what did I plant in our asparagus bed? I think I planted something like 12 or 14 asparagus crowns. And unfortunately we had some daylilies that got planted nearby there. And daylilies are another one that'll spread like the plague. Horseradish is real good about that. You break the roots up when you're digging them out, and you break the little pieces of roots off, and each one's going to come back. So it's much the same way. Let's see here. I'm trying to think of some other things here. I had some other notes here that I had pulled up here for other things I've thought about talking about tonight, but something I could probably get into some other time. Livestock basics on homesteads. But that I'm just going to close up right now. Okay, so that's gone. Okay, over the next couple of weeks, I apologize for not having any fun links to go out to where people can look at and read stuff and kind of follow along. But I do have some other, some little projects I'm working on. And in between times, I've been finding myself occupied for at least a couple or 3 hours every day here with trying to keep up the archives and get that stuff all squared away. One thing I have done here, since I'm talking about it, I might as well go ahead and mention it. What I've been trying to do is each evening when we have the live shows on. Why don't I pick one day of the week here as an example? I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and take, yesterday. Good example. We had a show from Mother Earth, a new one at 7 o'clock in the evening, our time, followed by Concrete Colloquium, followed by Amy with Living Way Out Here, and then we had Cope with Liberty Lounge. So that's 5 hours of recordings there that I went ahead and got, edited down and, brought right to links where we can put them into the archives or in the circle or in the cycle for the shows. And so on a normal evening when we have, 4 hours of programming, I'll go ahead and get the previous day's programming started at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time. And they'll be in order. Mother Earth shows, Concrete and Amy's show, and then Cope's show. And once Cope's show finishes up at 7 o'clock, Mother Earth's new show comes on for that night. So, just as a hint. So, if anybody has missed a show in the evening or come in late, you can probably figure 4 hours back from there know, you'd be able to, if you tune in 4 hours early, you'd be able to catch the show again. And also what happens is, by the time when, Cope finishes up in the evening, usually, you know, the archive will start over again, which I'd gotten set up earlier in the afternoon. So, you'd be able to, you'd have like a third opportunity to hear shows. So, okay, so that's kind of, that portion of things. Let's see, what else was there I was going to talk about? I'm still busy getting, the archives up and working a little bit better. I've got Mother Earth's archives split down now because, we had, most of 2013 and, all of 2014. All in, one big long player. So I've gotten that split up now. So, so if you know what year a program was in, it'll be a little easier to find. You can just pick the archive for it on her page. Concrete, and I'm still working on yours. It's taking me a little bit of time to sort everything out and get it all squared away. But we'll get yours, done up pretty soon as well. Okay, now, what else? Oh, yeah. I should probably go ahead and talk a little bit here. Give you kind of a little bit of a preview. Sometime in the next couple of weeks here, I'm going to be getting a webpage up here showing how to make a tincture press. They're not really too bad to do. And you know, show you how you can get the most out of your herbs and spices that you're tincturing out, you know, how to squeeze the last bit of the juice out of them. So, that's one thing. There's another thing that, again, for gardening tools, going to be getting the pictures together and show you how to make a human powered plow for your gardens. You used to have them a lot of years ago, where it's basically like a wheel, a couple handles, and behind the wheel you got a spot for your plow attachment. And there's actually a way of recycling old bicycles to save you some of the work for producing a homemade plow. So, well, let's see here. We've got, it's 9:57 in the evening. So, why don't I do this? I'm going to go ahead and put in one more dobro piece of music. And so, and after that, we'll go ahead and get the archive started again here. So, again, thank you all for being here tonight and joining me here in the Tinker's Shop here on the Survival Circle Network. And, so today was the 10th of July, January of 2015. So, again, thank you very much. Take care. God bless. Be safe and be well this week. Okay? And tomorrow night we'll have Chuck and Kat with the Medic Shack. So, take care. Bye-bye.